to no filthy dirt and not too many bugs and no snakes. But it's a real privilege for us to be here this morning to see all of you, dear friends and supporters and prayer warriors for us. We are just still so privileged. Just want to tell you just a little bit about Malawi, and some of you may know that. Malawi, as we saw last week in the Wall Street Journal, they did a report. Malawi is the number two poorest nation in the world, I mean country in the world. And they have 18 million population. The income per year is approximately $320. It is in the top third of the most corrupt countries in the world. And so there are a lot of problems there that we face and the people of Malawi endure. The women, for example, I think I've stated this before, are usually the ones that do the work in the fields. And so women are not really looked upon as, you know, very highly or cared for very well. So it has been our privilege to allow them to, you know, talk to us, to share with them how the Lord can change marriages in that culture. And we're thankful for those that have changed. And the men have changed in some instances. And so to be able to witness that and see the fruit of that is a thrill. But we are so happy to be here this morning, and we're going to share some slides with different things that have gone on since we saw you. And really, it's a miracle what God has done. I tell you, as the scripture says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. So we are just there to just be amazed at what God is doing and through the people of God that have supported this project, and we're just thrilled. I want to say one other thing, and I think I've stated it here before, that we need your prayers. I would not want to be in Africa if I didn't know my home church was praying for us, because we face so many challenges, so many issues. And so there are times when I know people are praying for me. I can tell, you know, just the Spirit of the Lord that gives you a sense, you know, okay, I'm taking care of you, I'm taking care of this. And if you're one of those prayer warriors for us, thank you. God bless you.
She has always stood behind me. Okay. Are we good? Oh, okay. While I'm doing this, I'd just like to explain my dress. Well, growing up, people always wanted to see how the people in the foreign country dressed. So on Sunday morning, if you were in a church, you'd see a suit and tie. The buses, the pastors wear certain ties. But because I was here, I didn't want to offend you. I didn't wear a tie. Okay. I'm going to zip through this real quick. I have some music and some demonstrations that are going on there. Are we on? I get to do it again? Okay. I'm having a hard time here. Incidentally, commendations for your new sound program, or your sound thing. The last time I was here, I think Sesame Street came on my presentation. I'm just kidding. Okay, here we go. Are we good now? Is it up there? All right. Still up there? Okay. All right. On this first slide, you see Muzi Wala. Muzi is a village, and Wala is light. And we have, God has given us a piece of property halfway between the capital and the major city of Blantyre. And we're halfway there. We're living in a village called Cheo. And the president drives by our place every week. All of the people in the government drive by, the business people. We're right on M1, which is the major, one of the only highways. There's probably five in the whole country. They come by every day. It's the biggest project, newest project, so everybody knows about it, and I'll share that in a moment, how that's impacted some things. And there on the sign there you see on the left is our Give Me That Book ministry, and on the right is Action. We are in partnership with Action Ministries of Seattle, Doug Nichols and so on. We used to be a part of it, but he was the founder. And so that's our partnership. The words Muziwala, we have taken the scripture, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, Jesus says. And we want to be that city. We're in the midst of darkness, and I will describe some of that darkness as we go through here, and you will see it. And so the passage of Scripture is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And the good works we're talking about, first of all, it's words, and then it's works. And the hand there was designed by my brother, John. He was a professor at the University of Wisconsin, head of the art department there. And the symbol is carrying the light, and it's black, of course, for our Malawian brothers, lifting up the light of Christ so others would see. And incidentally, if you want to see my brother's work, you can go on the internet and seek John Reben, and you'll see some great artwork. Anyway, but he's not getting any money for it. I'm just promoting my brother. And our theme is this: displaying the beauty of Jesus by serving the most needy. The reason we say most needy, we have a saying, we don't have to decide what to do, we have to decide what not to do. There are so many things that are there, and so we always decide, is this something that we must do? It's something that has to be done. Of Malawi, through words of truth, the scriptures, the school, the Bibles, the testimony, the evangelism, and then through works of love, and I'll show you what that means in a moment. One of the things that we do is we feed the orphans. We have 19 feeding centers. We designed it to have 100 in each center, but it never happens that way. It goes as high as 400 in some places. If you're getting ready to feed 100, and you have a whole bunch, 200 kids outside crying because they don't think they're going to get food that day, you have to adjust. And we have tried to adjust. And so we feed 4,000 orphans and widows for three times a week from January through April. That's the time when the food wears out. I mean, we lose the amount of food, the supply of food, because the country is dependent upon maize. Everybody eats maize. Every day of their life, they eat maize. It's called sema. And they love it. We can't taste it, but they love it. And so it runs out during that time. Harvest is in May or end of April. And so we feed till then. And we feed the precious ones. And you can look at the pictures and you can look at their clothing. That's probably the best she has and probably the only dress she has. In this particular place, there's up to 400 children out in a cotton field, church right in the middle of a cotton field. And it was famine time. And it was very moving to stand up before them. Then one of our biggest rewards, of course, is the big smiles we get. We are Azungus. And they love Azungus because the only reason we would be coming to them is to help them. And so when we're driving, they're going, Azungu, 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 as maybe in Uganda they're calling them Muzungu. But they're very excited that we're coming. We also include 10 widows. We try to identify 10 widows in the village. We work through churches. We form a committee of pastors, leaders in the church. They run the programs. We train them. We provide all of the food and the extra things. But then they make a list of the orphans. But like I said before, the list is always expanded. But we also have a time of teaching for the widows. They're the forgotten group of the so much ministries. And yet they're precious ladies, obviously. They're precious ladies, and so we teach them. And then always we will have singing and dancing and a class. And now let me give you an example of what that may sound like.
idea. And it's always a joy for us to be partake in their singing and their dancing and so on. I wanted to put some of the other dancing up here, but I'm sure I would have offended some of you, because the way they dance and the way they use their bodies at times is a little bit challenging. But they think nothing about it, and they fully are worshiping, and so I won't show you those. I may, if you want to, later on I'll show it privately. Then we also, part of our ministry is passing out Bibles, and we know that only 10% of the pastors have their own Bibles. And so we've made this one of our priorities, and here is a group of pastors and elders who received the Chichewa Bible, not an English Bible, Chichewa Bible. Also, we have founded the school called Axum Malawi School of the Bible. It's a two-year program, 16 courses. These men and women have no training. So a normal congregation in the village will hear the gospel every Sunday, and it's usually very legalistic. And there's no depth teaching. And if you live in this culture that is so dark, and I'll explain some of the darkness as we go through, it is so dark that they have not heard the light. And so we as a part of this ministry are mentoring and discipling pastors. And so far we have had 225 graduates. We've had two terms of 2 years. First one was 75 pastors, and we also have women. We try to have 20% of our staff of students who are women. And then we have now, coming up in February, 200 students. We'll have anywhere up to 500 applicants, but we have to narrow it down because it is very expensive. It costs us a lot of money because we are feeding them as they're there. They come in for a week. We feed them and print all. We give them all their notes so they can take those notes home with them, and they can teach those notes that they are. And so it becomes a challenge in that way. It's 2 years, 16 courses, and they get a diploma. And they are so excited. When we do the graduation, we just had a graduation in November. A thousand people will come. Their family is excited. And when they receive the diploma, they dance. They dance up and they dance down. And when we're over with, their families come up and they bring buckets of food mattresses, and they're carrying all kinds of stuff. It's a great thing. And I can also show you some of that later on if you want to come over and see us. Here's a group of our students who sang, and I'm letting you see this because it also spans across and lets you see our sanctuary. Now, here we go. This picture here is a picture of Joshua and Moses. You always wondered what they looked like? Moses is on Joshua's back because 2 years ago Joshua graduated and Moses took Joshua on his back and paraded him around. This year Moses graduated and Joshua's carrying Moses. These are our two missionaries. They've gone off into Mozambique and have ministered there. Incidentally, we have a lot of our students, not a lot, 20, 25 of our students, they've heard about our Bible school. They travel. They sent messages they wanted to come, so we have students also from the hinterlands of Mozambique. After our graduation, I had the privilege of going up to one of our churches and ordaining four of our students. And one of our men that came to visit, we had our international director came from the States to visit our graduation and also our dedication. brought with him a bunch of suits. And so I, for their ordination, I offered them choice, and they got to choose. And so they're holding their suits, and I brought some of my ties and allowed them to choose. So you're seeing they're holding up their ordination paper and also their suits and their ties. This next picture has a story behind it. One of the great curses of the villages is the poor medical services, and a lot of mothers die in childbirth. And so what do they do with the babies? Sometimes they throw the babies into the grave with the mother. You say, what about the father? Most of the fathers are gone. They've deserted. And so you have babies being born. This Chisoma we found in the village had been born for 3 weeks and was living on sugar water, because what they do is they give the baby, if they don't have a place to give it, they give it to a gogo, which is a grandmother, a widow. And she's taking care of three or four children already, so she has no money. And so we found Chisoma and put him on formula, and that's after he's been on formula. He's a big chunky kid right now. So we're dealing with a lot of emergencies that aren't a part of our planned ministry, but we're there and they show themselves. This is Gresham. We showed you last time. Gresham was burned, third-degree burns. A pottage fell off on his head, and rather than washing away like normal water would, it stood there, stayed there. And so we found him, and we tried to show his grandmother, the gogo, how to keep the infection away. She didn't do a good job, so we brought her to the house, and we applied the various things to keep the infection down. And we're blessed to have a young man who's a paramedic that helps us in our ministry, Andreas. And the thing that was happening, though, is as we would put him in the water and the various solutions, he would scream and holler, just scream, because it was so painful. And the whole family, our whole ministry, would be crying with him. He would be cussing to silence. I mean, it wasn't really compassionate for us, but it was helpful. And what I did was I went online and I found a burn center that had just opened up in Le Longue, our capital, by the University of North Carolina, and I took him down there. He got his grafts, and so we have those times that we celebrate. Here's Gresham. His skin is growing back. Some of his hair will not grow back. He'll still have scars, but he's a great-looking kid. Then also we also teach permaculture, which is an attempt to show the farmers, and 90% of Malawians are farmers. They depend upon the land. They have their gardens. How to better take care of their land, how to rotate their crops, how to use natural fertilizer, how to use mulch, just things that they've never done. And so that's part of our ministry. Also, we are privileged to have some gifted students. And here is one, Noreen, who's my daughter. And we're Papa and Mama. I just got a note from her yesterday saying, when are you coming back? But she is a nurse. We've sponsored her. With our other daughter, Sarah, we put her in high school. We helped pay for high school there. And then we paid for her teaching, her instruction in nursing. And now she has a full scholarship. She's such a sharp student. So we're thanking God for that. And then we also have another young man that's in the same kind of thing. He's working in the preliminaries for being a doctor. We're hoping that he comes back and she comes to our clinic and they get married. And so then we also provide goats for widows. It's a unique program. It's not unique to us, but it's a program where you give a female goat to a widow who's taking care of orphans. And when she has her first offsprings, the first offspring goes to another widow, and then she gets to keep all of the offsprings after that. And it helps provide food, money for the children, but also for education, because the students have to pay for education in what we would call high school. And so we as a ministry, we provide 50 scholarships for students there. We also provide women's ministries, and the women love to be taught the scriptures and love to sing about God. Then also we fight real darkness, witchcraft, superstitions, it's really real there, and the people really believe it, and it really has an effect. I want to have Barbara come up and just talk a little bit about Moya, who was our guard at our Muziwala.
When they were building the actual fence, which is required to make your homestead or whatever you want to say, this is our land. And so after we bought this property and we were putting up the fence, we hired Moya to keep an eye on the property and the supplies and those kind of things. So as we were building the project, he was our guard. He would make sure that the workers were checked as they went out, and make sure they weren't taking anything, which is, in the situation of Uganda, if it's there, they think it, they can take it. So anyway, great guy. Could speak hardly any English, but always had a smile, always was very gracious, always was very helpful, and what probably was the hardest worker on the property during our building process. Moya does not know the Lord. And so, consequently, during one of our events that we had bought some goats, and Moya and some other friend of his from the village nearby put part of the goat up in a tree. And so they were going to take it home later that night. Well, Amaya Perry, who runs our kitchen and the feeding area there for all of our events, she wanted to know where the food went. And of course, you know, she's a very smart lady and wouldn't take that's all there is. Anyway, so he had to show her that was where the food was. And so they brought it down and cooked it. But what I want to tell you is that we had Moya there for, let's see, we started last year in 2016 when we bought the property as far as building the fence. But we started our complex for the building in January of 2017. And so as we're going through this process, we had to hire another guard because it's a very big property. And so the other guard was sleeping down below in, outside on the patio of the kitchen. And he experienced this strange thing of this big, enormous, giant person, and he was just immobile. Of course, they believe in witchcraft, and he swears that something was going on. That happened a couple nights. Finally, he went up to Moya, who was up at the gate in the guardhouse area, and he said, "Moya, what's going on?" Anyway, Moya said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it. We find out that Moya's a witch. We love it, guys. And we were so sad to have to let Moya go. But he told, when they were interviewing him, you cannot in Malawi, you cannot fire an employee because they're in witchcraft or they're a witch. That's against the law. But thankfully, the Lord worked it out where we knew he had stolen this this meat, and so that was used as part of the excuse to let him go. But Gary also said, you know, we cannot have you here. We cannot have you here because a lot of the village people were scared to death of him because he said he was so powerful and in witnessing different things. You know, that's what some of them had told us. So when we were getting ready to fire him, he was in the office with Gary and a couple other people, and he said, we just can't keep you here. And of course he was sad, and we were sad, and he said, you'll be welcome back if you come to the Lord, if you change your ways. But he said to my husband, you do not know how powerful I am. He said, I have a lot of power. And of course, you know, Gary said, yeah, but you don't know how powerful our God is. He is much more powerful than your God. and your witchcraft. And he said, you cannot make us afraid because our God is the God. And he is more powerful than you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to ask God to change your heart. And every day, almost every day, I pray for Boy, and I'd ask you to pray for him, that God's light would come in and just take away that darkness in his heart. We found my Fury went around the property to get all the little gadgets that has to do with the witchcraft and thing that he had planted unbeknownst to us all around the property. And so when he left, he took all those with him. But I'd ask you to pray for Moya. He's a wonderful guy. He just needs Jesus.
He told us his father was a witch doctor and
had trained him in witch doctor, so he depended upon it. That's what kept him safe. And he told me, you have no idea how powerful my witchcraft is. And what was going on our property, this other guard was just totally flipped out. He said it was real. So Moya stopped it. However you want to put that together, he did. We talked about Muzi. Our whole last year was focused on trying to get this project done. We bought property. It was given to us. And farmland, and it was interesting steps. From there, we went to the field. We had to sit under trees. The chiefs came and joined us, and we had to go through a ceremony. All of the people in the family had to say, yes, we agree that the Zungus can buy our property. And so it was quite a cultural event for us. I wish you could have seen us all standing underneath the trees with the chiefs, but that was part of their process. This project was done by hand. Here we have men making our blocks. We also made our bricks by hand. Here you see one of our ladies from the village. We hired about 100 villagers around, so they were blessed by our project. Here she's carrying bricks on her head and a baby on her back. And much of the water was carried on the back. We did a borehole, and so they would carry the water to the cement makers. And the project was done, of course, on the backs. So the thing was done by hand. Picks. This is hard clay, and they picked out the foundation, the holes, and everything was done by hand. Wheelbarrows. It was amazing. That's why I say it's a miracle. They only started in January. Today we have this huge building for ministry. And also feet. I wish you could have seen them going up 9 meters high. OSHA would have not been happy with what we did with. The end result is this beautiful building called Muziwala. Everyone knows about it. The government officials know about it. And then we also build a kitchen. This is for our students where we can feed them. And again, the thought is we're a city set on a hill on both sides. We're on a ridge. Both sides are villages, hundreds of villages that surround our area, this wide open area for ministry. And we want to see them, the glory of Christ, through our works. And then here's a church. When I think I've mentioned to you before, when I left my church in Santa Barbara, and I asked the Lord for three things. Number one, that He would open up doors, that I would never promote myself. He said, you're going to the world. And I said, Lord, okay, but I don't know anybody. He said, I'll take care of that. So He's opened the door. Second, that we need funds. We had no funds. The Lord is miraculously provided funds. Just one person gave us the money to build this project, which is halfway done. Something like $300,000 was just there. And I could tell you the story, but it was a God working in our lives again. And then the third thing, when we get there, I said, Lord, give me people that are hungry for the Word. I just don't. I've been in the churches of America, but when I get there, I want them so hungry because that's what I want to do. And the Lord has graciously given us hundreds of people who want to know Christ and the Word because they have no other hope. And so this is a place, Takalandarani means welcome. It's a place where we let the light shine out of the darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:6. And it's a place where we sing and serve. I don't have time to let you hear them sing, but they were cleaning the buildings, getting ready for the dedication, and they just jumped up there and sang. We also have a library. I shipped all of my books over there. And if you want to come and see us and bring some books with you, you come ahead. We'll use them. We had a chance to impact the country. The two largest newspapers in Lilongwe and in Blantyre. The reporters came to do a special for us, and this is their whole major page presentation of what Muziwala is doing. Here was our dedication. Let me give you just a taste of the worship of what goes on in the building. Anyway, it's very moving for us as we see hundreds of people praising the Lord with us. This was the guest of honor for our dedication. He's the Secretary of Defense for Malawi. He came and made some wonderful comments about our ministry and said to us as on the platform, he said, "Your ministry is different than most NGOs. Your ministry is getting to the people." Most NGOs, it wasn't, apparently. And so he honored us. And when he signed our guest registry, we are now official for Malawi. We're recognized as a legitimate group. Here's another one of our emphases. These are the children that were at the ministry. Part of the joys, of course, of being there is the people that we get to work with. The greatest people on earth are those who leave everything to serve Christ in other parts of the world. And these are some of them. We have a great time. This is our team. Some from Switzerland, some from the U.S., some from Canada. This is the pastor. This is Piri's. These are our precious family that we serve with. He's my right-hand man, and we couldn't get anything done without him. Precious family. This is a city family. You can see how dressed, well-dressed they are. This is not the way they dress in the village, but this is Amai Piri is just a wonderful lady, and she takes care of her kids real well. This is our board from all different forms of ministry. We also welcome teams who come to spend time with us. This is some of our family. The lady in the middle in the blue, that's Gloria. She's one of our workers. She had a baby, and I kept saying, "I want you to name the baby Gary." And it turned out to be a girl, so she said, "Well, you name the baby." And I gave her a list of names, and she chose Lindsay K. Lindsay is the daughter of one of our friends, and K is Barb's sister. So I knew that if they name them after somebody who is a Zungu, they will be taken care of. They will get an education. And again, we want to thank you for supporting us. A lot of things I had to skip over because of time, because I wanted to say a few things. But before I do, here are some of the needs that we have. Funds for the feeding program. $10 will feed one orphan for 12 weeks. Bibles for the new students. We need 200 Bibles for the next session. They cost $10 each. We have scholarships, we've said, for the students. They're $100 for a year. The goats for widows. If you'd like to provide a goat for a widow, costs $100. This Bible students, the ones who come for the school for 2 years, $120 will. So you see how expensive it is, but $120 will sponsor one student for the full program. The dormitories, if you really want to help us, we need dormitories, $30,000 each. Medical clinic, where because of the lack of medical resources, we want to provide that there, and then also we want to have an infant orphanage. To have a place where the babies, where the mothers die, the babies can come instead of being thrown away or discarded. And then we have all kinds of furnishings that we need. So I've run out of time. I want to give you some scriptures before we go. Obviously, the sermon that you have before you, you're not going to get this time. I'd like to read one statement, then read a scripture, and I'm through. says Jesus Christ is the glorious center of all that exists. He is like the sun in our day. The sun dominates our sky. Its brightness is blinding. Its rays enlightens everything else. You cannot ignore it. Likewise, Jesus is the blinding light in our spiritual universe. He is the most valuable of treasures and the most satisfying of all pleasures. You cannot ignore him. We were made to see him and savor him and serve him and show him in ways that display his incomparable brilliance. And when he is the sun of our solar system, our lives will have order and purpose and satisfaction and delight that only radical disciples of Jesus can know. I'd like to read just Luke chapter 9. And I would like to point out to you that when Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us. It's a big call. And look at what Jesus said. Most of our groups that are calling in people to join them offer them something like new car or health and wealth and so on. But listen to Jesus. He says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then Jesus said to someone else, he said, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who has put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What was Jesus doing? It seems like he's driving them away. He's saying, if you want to follow me, I'm more important than family. I'm more important than what you consider to be urgent. I'm more important than your very life. And he's pushing away. You say, what is wrong with you? We have some preachers today say, Jesus loves you. All you have to do is just raise your hand or sign a card or something. It's much more in depth than that. What is Jesus saying? He's saying there's only one reason that we would believe and be saved, and that is to find our joy and our love in him. He is the only reason. He is the goal. He is the purpose. He is the sun. He is the radiance of God. And when we're saved, it's a miracle. It's a powerful miracle because our eyes are opened up to see this is not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just someone who's going to get me to heaven, but he is the shining glory of God. He is what I was made for. He is the person that my heart will be satisfied in. I will find myself in him, only in him. And so when I'm in Malawi, my brother sent me a note. He said, you know, it's time for you to come home. He said, the family's decided they want you home. And I wrote back to him. I said, if you could stand in front of 400 people, 400 children who are starving to death, you would not go home either. But I want to tell you something. I need something even more than that, a greater motivation than that. Because while we're there, we face death of loved ones, babies' deaths, robberies, thievery of our ministry. We fight darkness. I've never had a more strong spiritual battle than I have. And so I need a motivation and a reason to be there far greater than even 400 children. The only thing that keeps me there is my love of Jesus, because he is so precious. And in all of us, Jesus calls for radical living. None of us live like we should. We don't live radical lives. We live American Christian lives. You get over there and you see the depth of darkness and you see the needs that are there. I'm going to tell you, that's why I try to get people to come. If you just come and see it for yourself. I'm not special in the sense of, oh, you must have been a godly man to go there or be there. No, it's all privilege. And I'm not complaining at all. But what I'm telling you is that God has a way for us. And it's radical. But we'll never be sorry. What we give away, we will get back in the sense of satisfaction in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this precious family, and I thank you for allowing us to be there, and I thank you for the prayers that have gone up on our behalf, that which we need so desperately. You know You know how many times we struggle with depression or struggle with the suffering and identify with the darkness that is there. But I thank you, Lord, that your light, with just a little bit of your light, moves the darkness away. And that's why we're there, because we believe in the power of your word to dispel darkness, to beat back the devil, to beat back the witch doctors, and to bring light and hope to a nation that is so dark. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for this church that loves you and your word and missions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.